Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Patriots or Bills? Who's going to win? This was supposed to be Buffalo's year in every way. Who you got in that division?
I like the Patriots. As crazy as that is to say, I can't believe it, because of the play of Drake May, but especially on this defense. They have the better defense, right? And this is a team sport. Again, Bills still a lot of question marks on that side
better
of the ball.
Better coach, you know what? Quite honestly.
The Patriots are playing like the Commanders last year, where all of a sudden they rose up in a division nobody expected, had a magical kind of year, and it's starting to feel that way in New England for this season.
Shots fired, Rex.
Rex just in the middle there.
Better coach,
of
better
course.
Coach. He's been waiting for that one.
Yeah.
I think Vrabel's great.
I think Vrabel's a good coach.
Is he in the same tier as McDermott?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Right. What would the argument be for either one of them to be above the other in terms of tiers? What would the argument be?
Nothing.
Right?
No, neither's been to a Super Bowl. They've both been to the AFC Championship. Did the Titans make it to an AFC Championship? They did, didn't they?
Did they lose to the Chiefs in one of those? Yes.
Oh, now I don't know. Is it the year they beat Brady and the Patriots?
I don't know.
I'm going to look.
But, you know, the obvious.
But, no, they're in the same. I mean, Vrabel, someone that's defending Vrabel would even say, well, he hasn't had Josh Allen. I mean,
right,
maybe
of course.
Maybe now he does.
Yeah,
but he hasn't before.
I think it'd be kind of really difficult to try and split them on two different tiers.
Yeah, 2019.
AFC Championship game?
They were 9-7, and they made it to the AFC Championship game.
And lost to the Chiefs?
And lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, yes. 35-34. They beat the Patriots with Brady. They won in New England with Brady, and then they beat the Ravens with Lamar.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good run there.
803-0550. It's Chiefs week. Tomorrow, Carrington Harrison of the Drive in KC. We'll talk with him about what the Chiefs are. We're just looking through some stuff on this game, and fourth downs might be something to consider. The fourth down charts this year on being aggressive and how much you go for it. You know, I've loved to point out, only because it's true, that McDermott for the last 4 years or so has been very good, pretty aggressive, pretty buttoned up on fourth downs. They don't make many mistakes, and that is not true this year. And one thing about this year, Ben Baldwin had the, you know, which teams are aggressive and which teams don't know what they're doing or just playing gutalytics and which teams are just flat out afraid. And the Bills are in the quadrant he titled Full of Fear.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they are going to operate the same way against Kansas City, because sometimes teams do it based on, you know, who you're playing.
Like, and if you look at his company, there's one other good team maybe in that quadrant. There's a couple other teams on the border. Like, Green Bay is also there.
Okay.
But it's New Orleans, Cincinnati, Dallas, Minnesota, Tennessee, and Pittsburgh are the other teams that are
in
there.
You never want to be near Pittsburgh.
And they're not, to be fair, the Bills are as close to the best teams at this as they are to the Steelers, but part of that is because Mike Tomlin is at a zero when he's supposed to go for it.
Right.
So, like, McDermott is going for it when he's supposed to. It looks like, what is it, like 40%?
Yeah.
So, like, you'd like to be up around, like, the Eagles are at 90%. You'd love to be there. 40% for the Bills, zero for the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. So they're not really close to Tomlin. But that's because he is so dramatically worse at this than everybody else.
We'll get some calls in here. Also want to point out, thanks to Zach Maniac from Trainwreck pointing this out, in that clip, Schefter points out the Commanders and how they were surprised in the NFC East last year. They were the wild card team. They did not win the division. The Eagles won the division.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like, just like Washington last year, who
lost,
was a wild card.
Lost the division.
They were a wild card team. 803-0552. Mike in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
Awesome. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Wondering what you guys would think about an addition of a coach and two potential free agents. The coach would be Doug Peterson. I'm sure you guys know who he is. And he's sitting on the couch right now. And I would think that, you know, obviously personally, he might be a little touchy to bring in and may not be a McDermott guy, but knows a lot about the passing game, has a good pedigree. He's been on the Chiefs staff, so maybe he could help us game plan against them. And then for the two free agents, I think that, you know, backup running back has been emerging as a big need now. I mean, whether we like it or not, we're a running team. And if James Cook were to go down, we're stuck with Ty Johnson and Ray Davis, who haven't seemed to perform very well if you look at their PFF numbers. Maybe we could bring in a guy like Raheem Mostert, you know, with some good speed. He's not doing too much. I think he's in Vegas right now with the Raiders. And then the other day, Joe mentioned a receiver I really liked, Ontavian Wicks. You know, he's a guy that could bring really good depth. You know, he's not going to be the X guy that's the all-world Jamar Chase type. But, you know, we've seen how poor this passing attack can be if we just have one injury to a guy like Kincaid or a guy like Joshua Palmer. So I think, you know, those two guys would be affordable. Doug Peterson, you know, should be very affordable. And that may really help us. And the last thing is, you know, Curtis Samuel, if we can't get Raheem Mostert, you know, he was, you know, I'm in Columbus, and he was a really, really good running back at Ohio State. You know, people forget, they might think, oh, he can't run the ball. You know, well, he can run the ball. I mean, he ran for like over 800 yards at Ohio State or close to it, 7.9 yards a carry, and was also a really good receiving threat. And so it's a little surprising that Brady, who, you know, used him really well in Carolina, hasn't found a way to use him now. But that's a guy that I think we should get going to.
All right. Interesting.
The only place I saw Curtis Samuel on Sunday was in the fight between Deion Dawkins and Derrick Brown.
Yeah.
He jumped into that. Curtis Samuel was in college a decade ago. So did he run the ball for 8 yards a carry with Ohio State in 2016? Yes.
I'm not going to lie, though. Like,
you think it's an idea?
I think it's an idea. He's not doing anything for them at wide receiver. They don't have anybody at running back doing something for them other than James Cook. If they wanted to throw, I don't know, 3 to 5 snaps a game and a couple of touches Curtis Samuel's way playing running back, maybe 10 snaps a game is more, I don't know.
I would immediately ask, if he's on the field in the backfield, is it an obvious run situation because you're
maybe he you're,
you as the defense you know he's not staying well, in to protect.
No, but he might go off for a pass.
Sure, but I know he's not staying in to protect. Like I know I'm going to be able to get to the if I'm blitzing here.
Yeah. Let's also don't use Ohio State. 2020 in Carolina when Joe Brady was the Panthers offensive coordinator, he had 41 carries for 200 yards. He has 5 in 2 seasons for the Bills. So he did this with him in Carolina. I don't hate it. What was the preview? Oh, Doug Peterson, by the way, while he was talking about that, I looked up Doug Peterson. Do you know Doug Peterson has not had a top half offense in the NFL in 6 years? And in as 11 years as an offensive coordinator or a head coach in net yards per attempt as a passing offense, he's never been in the top 10 one time. So I'm good, personally.
Dontavian Wicks does play all 3 receiver positions.
Yep.
In his rookie season with the Packers, he played in the slot, played the X, played the Z. So,
yeah, versatility. I like the player. I like the player, and he's like the number 5 receiver because Green Bay has a million others. So, I feel like his numbers not being – like if you go up and look up, oh, who's this Dontavian Wicks guy? Let me see what he's about. And then you go like 1,100 yards in 3 years, you're not going to be impressed. But I've always felt that's more about opportunity there than it is about the player. I think he's a pretty good player that is buried behind Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Matthew Golden now, Jaden Reed when he's been healthy. That now they drafted a 3rd-round rookie. Like part of his Green Bay is just drafted and developed so many wide receivers that they all can't play, and this guy's just been the one on the short end of the stick.
Yeah. Paul in Buffalo next up. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Jeremy, how many years would you say we've been talking about this dumpster fire?
Which dumpster fire? Which one? The Sabres?
Yes.
The
Bills have
many,
more division
many.
Titles in the last 5 years than the Sabres have in the last 50.
Okay.
There's no comparison in which dumpster fire. I thought
we were talking about wide receiver, personally.
I would like to get one very quick point in that winning your division in football, you beat 3 teams.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And the Sabres have occasionally beaten 3 teams in their own division. You know, come on.
I'd love to see the numbers, how many times they have. But
right. Not that many. I just like to point out that the NFL has somehow made 3 teams a title. You get a title for winning beating 3 teams. Anyway, go ahead.
I tell you, just on a tangent, I mean, I'd love to rework the NFL divisions because to me, the AFC East makes no sense whatsoever. I'd love to see the Bills in a division with Cleveland, Detroit, and Pittsburgh. I think it'd be wonderful. But I want to move on to the Sabres. 10 games in, and my first call of the year on the Sabres, I noted how October was stacked for them to bring in points and get a cushion. And I wanted 7 wins and nothing like it. You know, they come out the first 3 games were disgraced. Last night, another game they can't show up for the first period. And how can Dahlin play 10 games in a row and not be a plus player in any of them? If you are on the ice, you're healthy to play. That includes mental health. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. He needs to figure it out because he has looked awful, awful. And I'm done with this build, I think.
All right.
Well, I don't know where they.
I don't know what you're going to do about a 10 games in.
Yeah, like they're. I don't. This is their team for this season, and I don't know who their GM is next offseason. So,
and again, like
if it's Adams, then maybe they go again, and if it's not, then I have no idea. Like they might want to do crazy different things than what they're currently doing. I don't know.
If I could make a comparison, they're kind of like a little bit the opposite of the Bills. The Bills every year lose a couple games, and we say, you know, they'll be fine. And, like, we have to see what fine ultimately is. One thing you pointed out, the Sabres start their first 10 games about like this. And then they end up doing the same thing, which is falling apart in, like, December, January. We'll see if they do that. I'm going to go ahead and wait until that happens. I don't have to kill them yet. They've played better. They think they have a guy to make some saves, which is huge.
I think the best thing you could think about them right now is they look like a team that should have 12 points and not 10.
Yeah, and they look like a team that probably
some of these years I bet they've had 10 points and they've looked like they should have like 6.
Maybe. Yeah. Thanks, Paul. John in New Jersey. Hey, John.
Hey guys, how are you? Good morning.
Good.
With this Kansas City team this weekend, do you think this is just an option, crazy option, if we came out with a no huddle offense the first half, do you think they'd be able to keep up?
Yes.
If who? Wait, wait, wait.
If the Bills came out with no huddle, I think it's antithetical to what the Bills will want to do. They will not want to do that. I'll be shocked if they do. If the Bills, it's one of the things you're going to hear a lot about this game. Like, the Bills don't want a shootout. The Chiefs probably do. Like, let's go.
I don't think the Bills should want to shoot out the way they're currently constructed.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. So, like the idea they're going to go to no huddle.
And oh, yeah. Like, they don't have the horses for it.
No.
Like, I think if they tried to do that, they'd get buried.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? They're going to go 3-and-out. They're going to line up. Well, I guess no huddle doesn't have to mean you throw the ball.
That's right. No huddle is just play with pace. But playing with pace means you want more possessions in the game, which is usually, I think, what you want to do if you're the better team. But the last four times they've played the Chiefs, they don't want to play that way. They want to throw the ball 4 yards, and they want to run it on 2nd and 2. If this game rolls out there, like, I don't know what's going to happen. They might win this game. If they win, we'll feel great. We had a caller earlier point out when they ran for 200 yards against Dallas. If they did that, it'd be awesome. There are a million ways this game could go. I think the most likely way the game goes is that the Bills, you know, run pretty well with James Cook. And on 2nd and 2s, will they hand off to James Cook again, or will they call play action? And if they call play action, they can expose a Kansas City team that is really susceptible to play action, like most teams are. And if they run on 2nd and 2 and 2nd and 4 and kind of eat clock in an effort to keep Mahomes off the field, then I think what the Bills ultimately do in that spot is limit their own margin for error and make it more likely they lose. So that's what they did in the playoff game when they played so efficient and perfect and it didn't matter because the Chiefs are going to get theirs.
I guess that's the question I'm asking myself, because I hated when they did that in the playoff game 2 years ago.
I mean, listen.
I didn't like it.
I like a lot of what Joe Brady's done. People told me that Josh Allen played so efficient in that game. They were so good in that game, and I absolutely hated the game plan from start to finish. So,
But that's the thing. Like, my inner debate right now is, I didn't like it then. I might think it's your only choice right now.
Right, it's more necessary now.
Right, like then you had, even if you thought he was diminished, and maybe this year's proving that he wasn't.
He definitely was not diminished.
You had Diggs. You had a rookie Kincaid who had been playing better than he was last year, at least.
That's a Diggs did drop the ball that he probably should have caught, and that's true. You know, that's a big part of that.
That's true. I mean, there wasn't much after that. Trent Sherfield started that game at receiver, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So, like, it wasn't like you were going deep on that position, but I thought there was still a chance that if you wanted to go at them and try to throw it and try to play a higher pace that you had the chops still. This team, I just don't see it. I think if you want to play with higher pace and you want to throw the ball a little bit more often than you have been so far this year, I don't see that working for them. So this time around, I might side with, all right, this time you probably should play slower, run the ball, play action, keep Mahomes off the field. Like, I'm more into that idea this week than I was 2 years ago.
Will the Chiefs get cute?
What does cute mean?
Cute means when they do their little...
Like Kelsey's going to throw a pass?
Or their ring around the rosy stuff out of the huddle. Or will they make a point to get worthy in the end zone?
That one might be the most likely. Get worthy in the end zone. Is there something else they could do? I mean, they're not trying to embarrass the Bills, are they?
You sure about that?
If they really want to embarrass the Bills, they would have the safety that they got from the Worthy trade, throw it to Worthy at the goal line. That's what they would do. Yeah, they'll do something. They do, but they do that in a lot of games, don't they?
They always get cute, yeah.
They had, it wasn't last week, it was the week before. They got called for an illegal formation or illegal snap. Mahomes was in like a 3-point stance at like fullback. I don't even know what they tried to do.
Yeah,
the play got stopped before it really got going. Yeah, they got something cooked up. Or they'll just hand the ball to Kareem Hunt at the 1 yard line.
Will the Bills,
which is also what they're doing a lot of.
Will the Bills get cute?
No. What is the cutest version of a play you can imagine them doing? I can't imagine anything.
Well, cute isn't just a trick play. I mean, cute's the Atlanta game where they threw the ball when they felt like they probably should have run it.
Or is it a handoff to Shakir on 4th and 1? Or is it a handoff to Dawson Knox against the New England game? Is that right, qualified?
Curtis Samuel in the backfield, and you want Curtis Samuel in the backfield. If Joe Brady wants to call that,
all right.
Is that too cute?
No. That's not cute? That's a reasonable level of cute.
Okay.
Reasonable cuteness, I would say, is Curtis Samuel in the backfield.
Fair cuteness. 803-0550. The Bills and the Chiefs.
Here we are again.
Here we are. We meet again, old friend.
Is the next one in Kansas City?
No.
Not the playoff game. Sorry, like the next regular season game?
Oh.
No, because they're here, right? Because we have our bet.
Yes. The Chiefs.
And I have the Chiefs.
The Chiefs come in again next year.
Against the Bills in the new stadium.
Who's the first team to appear in the new stadium? That's on the bet board.
And I have Kansas City. Which I like for, one, if the Bills were to win the Super Bowl, that's a chance. And also, if neither team won the Super Bowl, then little Sunday night affair opening up the new stadium.
It's too good of a game for week one. It's not
right. But they like to open... When you open a new stadium, you're getting Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
You just think the opponent won't be that good?
Yeah.
Well, you've got Miami.
I've also got Baltimore.
They stink. Or
Pittsburgh, whoever wins the North.
Probably Baltimore.
803-0550 to join us. Bills are underdogs.
Who's going to catch Allen's first 20-plus yard touchdown of the year?
Kincaid, this week.
Might go over Shahid.
Kincaid this week.
Or Gabe Davis.
Play action.
If you could pick guys not on the roster right now, or Kincaid, you would pick Kincaid? I'd give you anybody, everybody, the field.
The Bills
that's
are
not
gonna,
on the team. That includes Gabe Davis.
The Bills are going to be at the 27-yard line, and they're going to run a play action boot. Allen's going to roll to his right. And he's going to layer a throw to an open Dalton Kincaid who catches the ball at about the 4.
Like on the sideline, kind of?
In between the hash and the sideline, right. And he runs into the end zone.
Yeah. By the way, they were...
Clip this. What did I say? 27-yard line. He's going to catch it at the 4.
Yeah.
Second and 4 or 5. And Allen will boot out to his right, layer a throw to an open Kincaid. When the ball's on its way, you'll know he's going to catch it. You know it's in the end zone. You can score.
So
that's the play. I can see it.
Anyways, Allen has zero. This is the source of this. He has zero touchdowns this year of 20-plus air yards, deep touchdowns.
And he had one last year?
He was half a yard away from having one this year. Do you remember what it was? Not a player. Like, if we were to draft players you think will catch the first deep touchdown this season, this player would go really late.
Reggie Gilliam?
Probably before him, though.
Okay.
Jackson Hawes?
Oh, right.
Against
Baltimore.
He was a half
yard away. That's right.
Like, almost had their longest touchdown of the year, and they scored, like, two plays later. Almost counts.
Pressure to sack rate. I'm looking at pressure to sack rate. Time to throw post pressure. Boy, pressure to sack rate. Guys, we got to talk about the quarterback, man. The pressure to sack rate. Josh Allen's superpower.
Yep.
This year, he is behind on pressure to sack rate. Should I do the thing where I inhale really big and then read all the names that have a better pressure to sack rate than Josh Allen?
So, like, players that are better at escaping sacks, basically.
That have been sacked less frequently when pressured. This is where Allen is supposed to be the best.
The best ever, even, some have said.
Yes.
Like, statistically, he was the best ever. I think this year.
It is the superpower of Allen and Mahomes.
Yeah.
Here are the players ahead of Josh Allen in that department. Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott, Bo Nix, Bryce Young, Joe Flacco, Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold, Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, Spencer Rattler, Michael Penix, Dylan Gabriel.
Two quarterbacks who have played for the Browns this year are on that list?
Yes.
That's not great.
He is tied.
That's not great.
He's pretty much tied with Trevor Lawrence.
That's also not great.
Oh, I forgot.
I forgot
Caleb Williams.
Who was, like, the worst you've ever seen last year at this.
Yeah. If you want to pin me down for the number one reason that they will trade for a receiver, they should trade for a receiver, it's because they can't keep getting him hit. And they need something to tell teams you can't blitz. Like, Sunday, they could win the game. If they get a positive game script and they run all day and they never have to go to obvious passing situations, they're in good shape. But when it gets to a 3rd and 9, Steve Spagnuolo, the blitzes he's going to dial up. It's not even about will I complete a pass. It's is my quarterback going to get smashed around again? They need someone. They need what the Sabres think Mason Geertsen is. They need someone to make it so you can't hit our quarterback on every play. And the way to do that is have a guy that will run past you so you feel like, all right, we can't send 7. Can't send six here. We got to be a little careful on the back end. We'll see. I remain on. I just want to get on this. I remain very unconvinced they're going to trade for a receiver. I am not convinced.
Anybody?
No, I think they'll say Gabe Davis. I think they'll bring back. Hey, we got this guy. I remain unconvinced that they will trade for a receiver, because built into this, everyone says like, oh, what's Bean going to do after, you know, saying receiver was not a good idea? Who cares? It would also mark a second consecutive season that mid-season he has to trade for a receiver. And the third time he would have done it total. Kelvin Benjamin, right? Three times mid-season you're trading for receiver help? And the first one, not exactly, you know, it's not his team, it's not his build. I don't know. I remain unconvinced. Does he think he got his value on Amari Cooper? Did he or didn't he? He said when Cooper's in the lineup, they scored 7 more points per game. Well, okay, then you did get your value. But, of course, he retired immediately after. Will they get a guy that plays in the league next year?
If they get Shahid, yes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Bulldog.
I have a leg injury and a foot injury right
a
now.
A leg and a foot. Are they on the same
side of my body?
Side of your body?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Left.
What happened to you?
I got stung by a bee. And then I think I got stung by another bee.
Oh, come on.
I think I did.
Well, when did this happen?
Last night.
Last night?
Last night. Who knew?
It's Mike Shope.
Huh. Just never thought about getting stung by a bee at night.
I don't know.
But there would still be bees at night.
I guess.
Not to sound like the flat earth thing.
Right,
the bees just don't disappear when it gets dark.
Okay, but I've never seen one at night.
Well, it's dark.
And the Bulldog.
Maybe they would not be out at night, but you disturbed it, so it came out and said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, they weren't expecting
I'm in here trying to watch the Vietnam War on PBS,
right.
And you're what are you doing sitting down in the chair? This is my time.
You are not supposed to.
Right.
This is our time. Right? That's what the B said.
Right.
So, on behalf of the other Bs.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I just realized that I missed something in life that we used to have in life. I guess, you know, some people still have it. Like my father-in-law is still all about it. Directions. Directions to places. You don't need those anymore.
No.
When I go to Florida, where he lives, it's like, all right, here's what you're going to do. I'm like, Earl,
he wants to give me a landmark of like where the drugstore is.
Where the old Red Schoolhouse used to be.
Right.
It's really okay. I got it right.
My car and or my phone are going to tell me everything.
But then
if I say that,
he's 86. Yeah. If I say that, he's going to be like, well, this is why you can't trust that. He's going to tell me why I can't trust the GPS.
Right.
But you and I are talking about where we're going tomorrow, and you have a better grasp of where it is than I do.
I have literally driven past this place. I go different ways to work now, but for like the first maybe 20 years that I worked in this building, I left my house and drove down Starin to Kenmore, turned right, and drove up Kenmore to Niagara Falls Boulevard, and then just wound my way to Maple and Sweet Home. And this place is just about 2 miles, neighbors on Kenmore Avenue. It's about 2 miles from my house. And you're trying to figure out exactly, because you're not as familiar with, you haven't driven past it every day for 20 years. So you're like, you're different cross street. Like, no, it's further. No. And you keep going back to Colvin. Like, no.
I wasn't really trying to get it right. I was just sort of
spitballing, trying to figure out in your head where it was, like what you knew.
When I hear Kenmore Avenue, I think of St. Joe's.
Yep.
And then I'm going to go one way or the other from St. Joe's.
It is probably a half a mile from St. Joe's.
Okay.
Like Starin is the next light from St. Joe's, and then this place is right there.
All right. See, I'm not that far off.
Yeah. But just, you know.
Dare I say it, I think I'm directionally accurate on this one.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively. Anyway, well, that'll be tomorrow. See you there.
Yeah, come on out.
Yesterday, I thought we had I thought there were a few interesting conversations yesterday, and I was happy with it. And one was this point I thought of when, like, the Bills-Patriots game being, like, the game of the year, not this game. And a part of me, like, I tweeted that, and I don't believe anybody said this to me, but when I thought of it, I was kind of, like, looking for it, that, like, tomorrow we'll have Alex Gold on. And it could be construed as, oh, sure, now that, you know, it's the Chiefs and you've lost a couple games and you can't beat us in the playoffs ever, of course you're going
to
rationalize
you're ducking it as the
importance
game of
this game. Like, of course you're going to say the Chiefs are favored, you know. Somebody could have told me that. No one did. And it wasn't what I was going for anyway. But it's that. To use the same scenario, the Bills could win this game and their next five after that to go to 11-2. And if New England is 10-3 or better, again, we're talking the Bills going undefeated until December.
Mm-hmm.
If New England with an easier schedule, if not an easy schedule, is 10-3 or better, they're at 6-2 already. So anything from 4-1 north. That game is it. That game is the one that probably determines whether you're going on the road, wild card or division. Mm-hmm. You might think whoever is in the lead after that game should get home. Although the Patriots also play Baltimore in that stretch, and maybe Baltimore will be good by then. They play the Ravens in Baltimore the week after hosting the Bills. But that's not the point. The point is that that game in week 15 is the one. That's the one to circle.
The Bills still have the Eagles looming there, week 17, where, you know, their other two games after that are Cleveland and the Jets. You know, I don't feel like that's very daunting at all, but that Eagle game is, you know, that's a big one. It's one that even if the Bills get to that New England game and pass them, that's a game that could draw them back in. You know, and then we get to division record and other stuff, because the head-to-head will be a split if the Bills beat them, right, to take the lead. But if that Eagle game could be a stick in the spokes.
And that wouldn't even necessarily mean that the Bills would be in first if they're tied. because that would come down to common opponents and other things. It wouldn't even be that, like, to go 1-1 with the Patriots would be enough. But anyway, it's just to say, like, what the big picture of this season, it's kind of an obvious point, right? Like, what the big picture of the season has been about is home field, even the one. And you can't have that if you don't win the division, obviously. You're not going to play any home games unless there are a ton of upsets. So that's the whole point. Then I was thinking today, just sort of a random sidebar to that discussion. Would you rather that game, the Patriot road game, be this week and the Chiefs game be in week 15? Is there any sort of like smart take on that? Not that, of course, like anybody can do anything about that.
Yeah.
But how would you feel if I think I would trade? I think I would rather the Patriot road game be this week and then play it out from there than have this kind of scenario, but I'm not exactly sure why.
Yeah, I can't hearing this thought for the first time right now, come up with a good reason to say I would. I do like a game for the division. I almost wish the New England game was where the Philly game is.
17.
Yeah. Kind of like with Miami a few years ago when the Bills had to go down there and win. It was only 2 years ago, so not a few. It's a couple of years ago. And in order to seal the division up, and you know, they went into that day not even knowing if they would be in the playoffs unless they won that game. If they would win it and be in, but they could lose it and be completely out. As it turned out, by the time the game kicked off, both teams were going to be in, win or lose. Right? That's right, right?
I think so. Was that the game in Indianapolis at Jacksonville? And Jacksonville won by 100?
Yeah.
If that's right.
I think that's right.
Anyway, yeah. Well, I was just thinking about that. Like,
yeah, I don't need to rush the New England game. I like if the division is competitive. I like December. This is it. That feels like how football should be. You know, almost any division I like when it comes down to, you know, week 15 or later, even 16, 17, like I'm saying, that I would swap it for that Eagle game in a heartbeat right now if I could. Just because I feel like that's. I don't know, the drama builds, and I'm here for that.
All right, so you want the Patriots game on the schedule to be later than it is.
Later than it is, and you're suggesting earlier.
I kind of want it to be right now.
Yeah.
Because we really haven't taken calls on New England. And I know, I'm not begging for it, because we've got Joe Ostrowski, Ian Harditz coming up, Sal coming up, hockey game tonight. It's not like there's a lot. The windows are pretty small. But we really haven't – do you agree with this? We really haven't talked about the Patriot threat. And, you know, whatever.
That's right. Because it was mentioned, I think I said a few times in the run-up to the game, like, you lose this game, you're behind them. It's just going to happen like that. Like, you're chasing them.
The game against New England.
A game against New England, yeah. The first loss of the year. Like, as good as the year's going, suddenly you're in a spot where you're tied with them, and technically they're ahead of you now because they've got the head-to-head on you. But that was the extent of it. And then they lost. And it was just all about that they lost, not so much what the threat New England was. And then they lost another game on the heels of that, and then the bye. And, like, you're right, we did kind of blow past New England. I'll tell you why. I sort of was pushing back, I don't know, not hard. I don't think it was, like, aggressive even at all. On the game of the year moniker for that game is because we're only halfway through the season, and it's still possible New England as presently constituted, could still go pumpkin, even with the easy schedule. And that doesn't mean I think May is going to fall apart, but is he going to just play? Is he going to continue to complete whatever outrageous percentage of his 20-yard air yard passes or more? Is he going to continue to play like an MVP in his second year in the league? He might. I mean, guys do that.
You know.
But they also, you know, all the things that were said about them in the summer, like, they're the team that's coming, but how fast are they coming? Well, they've come a lot faster, right? I didn't think they'd be, forget about the rearview mirror, you're looking up at them, you're chasing them. And I would not have expected that. And I don't want to fall for what I thought in the summer still holding true, but How many really good players do they have? Are they to be should I expect them to go 5-1 until they, or 4-1 until they play the Bills?
Well,
I mean, who they play plays into that, but anybody in this league can lose to anyone any given week. So I don't know. I'm going to want to see before I settle for that's the game of the year. I'm going to need to see them get to this game, you know, in great shape, the kind of great shape they're currently in. So that's holding me back a little on that, and also from wanting to rush the game. Like, because who knows? I could be a couple of games ahead of them by the time I meet them in week 15.
I mostly agree. I want to say just to the one point you made about Drake May in there. How about this Treya Savage? You never know how young athletes are going to handle the big moment. And we think like mostly like people who would be terrified of all the, you know, think about like playing golf even, just sort of other people watching you or whatever. I hit a golf shot. I played maybe three times this year. I think it's probably over. And one was a tournament at Beaver Island, and they're all these geese at Beaver Island. It's home for me. It's the first golf course I ever played. It's home, and I just always like being there. But there are lots of geese. And I was playing with Sneaky Joe, and it was this one hole along the road, and there were 100 geese 50 yards out from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit the worst possible shot. For this
into the
a
geese.
Low line drive,
right?
That
oh, no.
Just like I felt like my odds were pretty good to pick one of them off. This is one of these things in life, by the way, where I kind of have flashbacks—not nightmares, but flashbacks to it. Even though nothing actually went wrong, like I didn't hit a goose. This is not how the story ends. Mm-hmm. I missed, but I still kind of think that I could have, and it bothers me. So anyway. Drake, let's him go backwards. Drake May, you savage.
Pressure.
Yeah, like you just, the kid last night for the Blue Jays, can you imagine just like not succumbing to it? And maybe that's May, like maybe it's not. But the assumption people make is, sports fans make, is that, all right, well, you're young and that's bad. I think somebody, maybe this isn't Josh Allen, but somebody with experience, much more experience, but some of it's negative, could be just as susceptible to faltering under the pressure. And I just tend to think in general that most guys are not going to falter anyway. Still, May, so they're 6-2. Would you take, let's say we're the Patriots, would you take 9-4? That's the record where the Bills would need to go six straight wins, 11-2 then by that.
Mm-hmm.
To be clear of a game against New England, you know, tipping the division in the Patriots' favor. Did that make sense? If you're two games up and you lose, you're still ahead.
I'm still ahead of them with three games to go.
So you need to be two games up, or else a loss there is bad. 9-4, 6-2 now. Would you take that? Would you take this scenario? I think yes, but here are the games. Home to Atlanta. At Tampa Bay, home to the Jets, at Cincinnati, home to the Giants. Does 3-2 to the Patriots, would 3-2 sound good in that block of games? I mean, I might think it's the floor.
Tampa is, to me, easily the toughest game of those five.
They'll be an underdog?
Where is that? Is that? Did you say in Tampa?
Yeah.
I would...
I think so.
Yeah.
Tampa off a bye this week.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe they have everybody back.
Atlanta, I mean, throw a coin in the air. I don't, you know.
Really?
What are they going to be? You know, are they the team that took the Bills apart, or are they the team that lost 30-0 to Carolina and lost to Miami last week?
What's your guess?
I don't know, but that's what I'm saying about them entirely.
They're a touchdown favorite.
I would not be the least bit surprised if they lost that game.
Okay.
You know, no, and I wasn't really prepared to be the least bit surprised if the Bills lost to them, because Atlanta, I thought, could be a division winning type team. I think there is a lot of talent there on both sides of the ball, but they just for some reason have not really put it all together on any kind of regular basis. So, like, there's two right, like at least Tampa definitely. Then I don't know. I mean, The Bengals, is Flacco still hot or has he gone pumpkin by then? You know, see,
Not Burrow yet.
I would take it for sure.
From if you're here, New England, you would take it.
Oh, well, no, I mean, from my perspective, if I'm New England, I think I might.
I think that's really all you need is 3-2. I think that's all you need.
Yeah.
For 9-4.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the AFC East, you need the Bills. Well, the Bills would need to go 6-0, like we said. Like that's what they would, if you put New England right now at 9-4, then unless the Bills go 6-0, they'll have to win that game or else they're probably, you know, a wild card team. There's still three games after that.
Right.
I don't want to like sound too sure of myself about this. Like, well, it's just that game has a bigger impact probably on where you're going to land in the playoffs than this one. I think, by the way, I think this one is more important to Kansas City than it is to the Bills, because this one is like, that would be 5-4 if they lost. And now you got to watch out because you have Denver twice and Indianapolis and Houston and the Chargers. Like they could lose 7. They could not make it. That's how I would look at this game if I were talking about the Chiefs. They can't lose 7 games.
They could be in real trouble if they drop this game.
Yes. And right now, everybody wants to tell you how they're perfect. Like right now, everybody's at Kansas City looks perfect. But these are all tough. At Buffalo, at Denver, Indianapolis, at Dallas, for what it's worth, Houston, Chargers, at Tennessee, okay. Denver again, Raiders. How should they expect to go in those, what is it, 7-9? Used to be so easy. They're 5-3.
Yes.
You play 17, they have 9 more.
Right. Sorry.
I mean, would Kansas City take 11-6? No. They're Kansas City.
Right now, they would not. If they lose this one, they might.
Yes, that's right. I think that's right.
So that circles you back to how big it is. And like to me, any game, if you want to continue to play the I want to catch the Colts game, then regardless of who you're playing, every game is massive right now to me for the Bills. And look, I don't expect them to go to the wire here without losing another game, right? I got to count on Indianapolis at some point to drop some games. They do have some tough games. Unfortunately, one of those is also against Kansas City, which, you know, if they get you this week, then you might have a Kansas City problem, you know, moving forward. But I want to keep the dream alive about the one seed, and dropping this game would make it really hard. Because right now I'm a game behind. Indy's played the one more game than me. They'll have their bye eventually. If I can stay right on their bumper here, then let's see what happens when they do get some tougher games. Because they have had a pretty cake schedule. The hardest game they had was the Denver game, and they got a pretty fluky win in that game, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, they were even with Denver.
Right.
But they got the penalty.
They easily could have lost that game.
Yep.
And
they thought they had.
Right. So I want to stay on their bumper. So I want to beat the Chiefs. It still feels like a super important game just because I need a W. And I would feel that way if I was playing Jacksonville this week. Really?
Well, if the Bills are good enough, it very well could all fall right. Like maybe we thought 3 weeks ago that was almost likely to happen. It very well could fall all right. The idea that the Patriots are just not too good for the league and that they will lose games. Sure, I think that's reasonable. The idea that Kansas City with that schedule loses 2 or 3 more games. Okay. Indianapolis, their next 3 games are in Pittsburgh, Berlin, and Kansas City. With a bye in the middle there.
Like who are they playing in Berlin?
Atlanta.
Okay, because Berlin doesn't have a team as far as I know.
Well, they probably do. We just don't know yet.
Oh, all right.
They probably have 2.
Mm. East and West?
Yes. Yes. Old school. So, you know, if you have faith in the Bills still being like last year's Bills, where they had the 2 losses, but, you know, they're fine, right? And then they just sort of roll. Then it could very well all fall right. you still have Denver to deal with, and I don't know who else really. There's no AFC North team that's going to get in their way. I mean, if Pittsburgh suddenly becomes great, then we're talking about them for seeding, but the Ravens are the betting favorite at 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the AFC North winner is the 4. And that very well could be either who Denver KC loser or New England Buffalo loser gets in the first round, which is, you know, actually kind of hot. Very interesting. I mean, going 17-0 and having that to talk about was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, it's good that we got a month out of that.
We got a little mileage out of that, but this is just really good. New England being what it is, and Indianapolis.
Do you have
it's not all so obvious this year.
Do you have all those schedules open? Like New England, because I'm thinking about a scenario where I don't have a 2-game lead after I beat New England. I've got a 1-game lead after I beat New England. However it falls, right? I beat them, and I'm ahead of them by a game. I've got that Philly game sitting there week 17. What do they have after they play the Bills?
Ravens, Jets, Dolphins.
Okay. So I need Baltimore to be living for that. Like, right, I need them to stay alive. I can't.
Well, you know what? Tonight, then, will be interesting.
Mm-hmm, right.
Not just for this reason, but just overall. Like, does Baltimore still want to compete? Or do they go to Miami and, I don't know, smoke? Or something, and just
I can't really
smoke flavored mud.
I cannot mallow cups. I cannot really tell you why, but I kind of love Miami tonight.
Okay, well, we will get there. The line at 4:45.
I don't know why, but I do.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on a Wednesday, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and the phone lines are wide open at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers to join us. We do have open lines because we are asking you today, name one Bills player on offense, one on defense, that you think will show up big on Sunday against the Chiefs. For me on offense, I think it's Shakir. He has given them problems in the past. And on defense, I'm going with Hoyt. He was a force multiplier last week. I think he's got to do that again this week. He was a major shot in the arm for that pass rush. And look, I realize 7 sacks, 9 quarterback hits against a backup quarterback last week. It's a much different step up in weight class this week to a guy who is very difficult to get on the ground. But I think you've got a three-headed monster coming at him with Hoyt, Rousseau, and Bosa, you know, and Epinesa as a fourth wheel. I'm thinking that they are going to be able to get home a few times, or if at least not get home, maybe force some hurried throws. We've seen Mahomes fall victim to rushing throws in the past, and it results in turnovers for the Bills, whether it's Von Miller getting to him at the end of the game and he throws a pick to Taron Johnson, or he gets flushed out of the pocket second play of the game, throws one down the field, and gets picked off by Hamlin. So it can be done, and it has been done, more importantly.
Yeah, that's the key thing. I think you defend Mahomes in the pocket. That's what happened in the Super Bowl, and the better your play is up there, the better everything else gets behind you and your secondary and everything. He's the one notorious – because of the way he plays, he's the one that when it goes bad, it's him. He tries to make a play, and it doesn't work, right? And more often than not, it does, which is why he's, you know, maybe one of the greatest ever. So – I think if you can defend him in the pocket, keep him there, get him on the ground once in a while, and just not let him extend plays as much as he does, you're good. But, man, that's hard to do because that's what he does best. Slips out. He's so elusive. Their offensive line is, I think, a little better this year than it has been. And he's got all those weapons. So I think it's going to be as tough as any as it ever has been. But I think that is the key. I think Hoyt, Bosa, you know, Deion Walker – you know, Epinesa, Rousseau, the whole gang, they've got to get him and keep him right there in the pocket and just allow their secondary not to have to cover for 5, 6, 7, 10 seconds. So I would say the same thing as you. I would say it's Bosa and Hoyt. And on the offensive side, I don't think it's anybody except maybe Josh. I think they got to lean on him. I know this run game is good. They're number one in the league, and it's real. Their ability to run the ball is a problem for defenses, but I think at some point Josh is going to have to throw the football this game because I do think you're going to have to score points, a ton of them. I was looking back. Last year they scored 30 points. Remember they beat them 30-21. The year before they scored 20. The year before that they scored 24. Then in 2021 when they beat them after getting put out of the AFC Championship game, remember they came back and hung 38 on those guys. That was a big game. That's one of the things when I say you put a team out of the playoffs, they're going to come back the next year and lump you up, which is what happened this year for Baltimore when they came in here, except they puked all over their shoes.
Yeah, but you have to remember that game was when they had Dable as their OC and they were throwing it all over the yard.
Right.
They don't do that anymore.
They don't score very much against Kansas City. Back in 2020 when they were at their best, they scored 17 in a loss that year in the regular season. So they're hanging right around the 20 to 25 point range when they play this Kansas City team.
With the exception of last year.
With the exception of last year when they got 30 on them.
And they had 2 takeaways in that game.
And they were 9-0 last year. It was a week 11, but they were 9-0 coming in here. I said they were 11-0, but it was week 11 and they were 9-0. And that so that's where you're at. I think with you, Brownie, you got to defend this team offensively in the front end of the pass where Mahomes lets it go.
Yeah, because there are too many weapons. And I don't think the Bills can cover all the bases matchup wise.
They can for
you
a hot minute.
You have an answer for Worthy with Hairston. You have an answer for Rice with Benford. I don't know who the hell is covering Hollywood Brown
or Kelsey,
who can run with him. And I don't know that you have a good answer physicality-wise for Kelsey. So have the guys up front help you cover up for that and get home. Let's get back to the phones at 803-0550, and we go to Mark up in Niagara Falls. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hi, boys. How are you today?
Good.
Okay, well, here's my thought process with the game. First off, the fans of Buffalo kind of always mentally go a little bit crazy when the team loses 2 games in a row. That's been going on for quite a while now, and it's mental in their head, not the fans' head. But now they're back, and I'm going to watch them go undefeated throughout the remainder of the season. I think they're going to absolutely bury Kansas City. The problem with Kansas City is if you try to pressure them on the right and the left side on the ends, Mahomes will usually run up through the pocket a little bit, keep his head up. He's very good at doing that, and find a receiver that's open or that's going to be a contested catch. But if you can get some pressure on him up the middle, he stinks. He literally stinks, and he's proved it. He can't do anything when he's pressured up the middle. So I would say that the most important people are going to be your Mike linebacker and your defensive end, but I'm not sure which one is going to be the one, or your defensive tackle, but I'm not sure which one is going to be the one that is going to be able to put pressure on him. But I'm gonna put my bet in that it is Jordan Phillips.
Okay. Fair enough, Mark. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, this is where your interior pressure package misses Ed Oliver, who is on IR now, after having a biceps injury that's going to require surgery. So you'd love to have him in that equation. Jordan Phillips, Larry Ogunjobi, Deion Walker. Those are your three on the roster right now, because Daquan Jones still is a question mark for Sunday. It'd be nice if he could get back. That would be a big help. But we'll have to wait and see how the week plays out. He is not practicing today. I don't know if I completely agree with interior pressure is Mahomes' kryptonite. He usually just rolls out of the pocket when that happens.
Yeah.
And makes a play.
Well, that's what we've been talking about in the last 5 minutes or so. If you can keep him in the pocket and pressure him and where he has to hitch and release, it gives you a better chance. He's so good at extending. If you can take that away from them, by and large, you take too much of their offense away, I think. We'll see. Maybe Deion Walker has a big game this time, having his size and weight along with Jordan Phillips, the two of them in there together pushing the pocket. Maybe you can get Mahomes into an uncomfortable place.
Yeah.
But it's a long game. You got to do it all the time.
Let's go to Rick out in California. What's up, Rick?
Hey, boys. Thank you so much for taking the call, sir.
Sure.
Question for you. On the pre-snap penalties, what kind of disciplines are in place for those? Because, like you guys have talked in the recent past, that McDermott always addresses about cleaning up the penalties, and God knows we have a league high, I'm sure. And I'm wondering, can we fine the players for, complete bonehead penalties that we get on pre-snaps? Because, like James Cook always says, I like my money. Right? So if they're going to make bonehead moves like that and false starts and whatever have you as encroachments, that could definitely be, corrected. Can we at least put them on a fining program to kind of button them up quicker or whatnot, however that works? I wanted to get your guys' opinion on that, because I think if we're going up against the Chiefs right now, the only things that are going to kill us are two things: turnovers and penalties.
Well, you might be surprised to know the Bills ranked 20th in the league in total penalties assessed against them, 20th. So they're not high in that category. They were high for a three-game stretch, but overall for the entire season. Now, granted, they have played one less game, so that you have to factor that in to their ranking of 20th. Seven penalties last week. If I remember, there was an illegal motion. There was a one holding penalty. Not too many pre-snap penalties. Nobody encroached and was offsides last week, so there was an improvement in that area from what we had seen from the three previous games, and hopefully that holds again this week. But right now, 20th in total penalties assessed against them this season with 51.
You might be right, Rick, and I'll say this. Most of the time, it used to be in the old days where the players would fine themselves. They'd put the money into a pot, right? And you'd say, hey, that's a $5 fine or whatever. And it wasn't like a $5,000 fine or something like that. It was something just token. And you may, yeah, I get it. Players do like their money, and you've heard all that. The best way to send a message is to bench them, is to take them out of the game. That gets through.
And I have seen players get pulled off the field for that.
Yeah. That's commonplace.
This season.
That's commonplace. Not only for the Bills, but other teams. You'll see a guy jump off or whatever, or like in a rare case, an offensive lineman will get a holding penalty, another holding penalty, and then the third one, he's off the field. They'll pull him right off the field. That's the way to do it. It's not money. It's not any of that stuff. It's pulling them off the field. That gets the message through.
Yeah.
But, you know, not everybody wants to pull an all-pro left tackle off the field if he jumps off sides or jumps too soon. So, yeah, there's got to be a little bit of that mixed in as well. You're right. It's an issue. But you address it in a way you think it'll be effective. But there's a lot of ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. We move along to Bobby in Buffalo. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. Listen, want to answer the question in regards to this. The one offensive player that I really want to see have a breakout game is Keon Coleman. Okay, and Josh Allen needs to learn how to use Keon Coleman more. Okay, also use Keon Coleman more, and also it would be so good if they put James Cook out in the flat with Khalil Shakir. Okay, I think that'll really throw Kansas City's defense off. Okay, and also the one defensive player is Joey Bosa. Okay, I want to see Joey Bosa break out too. But here's the thing, guys. I look at a lot of NFL films. Okay, and the thing about it is to keep pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Yes, you have to keep him in the pocket. Okay, just look at how. Answer me this question, guys. How did the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, we know.
Didn't they put pressure on Mahomes?
Yep.
Okay. Right. All right. And that's all I have for the day, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks,
yeah, the Bobby. Aspect about the Super Bowl that made Kansas City look pedestrian was the fact not only did they get pressure on Mahomes, they did it with four guys. And they did it consistently every play with four guys and dropped seven into coverage. And there's too many guys to throw into back there, especially when you got a guy coming off the edge untouched and you got the pocket collapses. Constant pressure with just four guys is the magic elixir for defenses in the NFL, and the Eagles did that last year.
We also have to remember that they had Joe Tooney, who's a guard, playing left tackle, and an undrafted player starting at left guard against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. And that's a big deficiency, huge deficiency against a pass rush of that caliber.
Yeah.
So we can't forget that.
Yeah, that in Philly, you know, I mean, Philly's got a different roster than Buffalo does too, but that's it. I mean, I've said it before. If you can get quick pressure with just four guys rushing, you're pretty much unbeatable for an offense. So,
for defense,
as a defense,
yeah.
So it's rare that happens. It's very rare.
But in the instances that it has happened,
when it does happen,
it's been very effective.
Your defense is going to look really good.
Let's go to Ron in Buffalo. What's up, Ron?
Yeah, how you doing? Why don't we put a spy on Mahomes?
We have.
Keep him in the pocket.
We've done it before.
We do that. We do that, Ron.
They've done it before. It's been Terrell Bernard.
And he can't do it all the time because then they start to get – there's things they can do against him.
Yeah, because if you spy him all the time, now you're taking a player out of your coverage. And now you have – you're still rushing four, and now you're using Bernard as a spy every time.
That's five.
That's five, and you only got six to cover. And that's not advantageous against this group. So you have to mix and match.
We've got to step it up on our defensive – defensive end's got to keep them in their pocket then.
Yep, that's right. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah.
You can't do one thing all the time. See, this league is too advanced for that stuff.
I know it's a simple math problem, but you rush four guys with a fifth as a spy. Well, the problem is now you're down a man in coverage because you're rushing five without rushing five even, right? So you got one guy that's standing there watching as long as Mahomes
is doing nothing. Unless Mahomes starts leaking out of the pocket.
Unless Mahomes extends the play. And you're trying to get him to extend the play with a four-man rush, which you should be able to pick up if you're an offensive line, and less guys covering, only five guys covering the entire field in the back end, because you've got – or six guys covering in the back end because you've got five guys rushing with the production of only four. The fifth guy is just watching for a hot second.
So you can do that some of the time. But if you do that too much of the time, Andy Reid and Matt Nagy will find a way to exploit
it. It worked better. If you had a spy that could hang in there with Cam Newton, okay, that's awesome. Because Cam wasn't really – he wasn't as good a thrower as Mahomes is, right? You're not going to spy Peyton Manning, right? Because Peyton Manning can carve you up if you – even if you have seven guys in coverage, he can carve you up. So it doesn't do any good to spy a guy like Peyton Manning. You want to either drop guys into coverage or send pressure, so he's got to get rid of the ball right now. The problem is kind of obvious when you start thinking about it. If the guy can't throw it outside on rhythm and on time, well, yeah, spy him.
Yeah.
Because you know he has to extend it. But for the Chiefs, they can do all of that. They can throw it on time, two guys that are, you know, against zone or man. It's a problem. Mm-hmm. So if you do one thing all the time, you're asking for them to hit you where it hurts.
Yep. Let's go to Susie in Buffalo here. What's up, Susie?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm not going to address your question of the day, but I had two questions for you, if I may.
Sure.
I consider myself pretty knowledgeable with football, but could you explain what you mean when you talk about 12 personnel, 13 personnel? And my second question, whatever happened with that defensive end that we drafted, Landon Jackson? I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thank you.
So with regard to Landon Jackson, he's on the roster. He's just been healthy and active for most of the season because he lines up at one of the deepest positions on the roster. And I know some people have asked, well, why is Javon Solomon playing over him, you know, a former sixth-round pick over a third-round pick? It's because Javon Solomon plays on three different units on special teams. He's on cover units and he's on return units. So because of the role he plays on special teams, he's up as a backup defensive end on game day. Landon Jackson's still here. He's still working hard in practice. Maybe he'll get an opportunity later in the season. But right now, with everybody healthy at defensive end, he's just not getting an opportunity to play on game day.
Yeah, tell him the 12 and 13 personnel question.
So 12 and 13 personnel, basically personnel is identified by offensive coaches. And they use those numbers to designate how many running backs and tight ends are on the field. So 12 personnel is one running back and two tight ends. 13 personnel is one running back and three tight ends. And then you can figure out from there how many receivers are out there based on the numbers you have at running back.
The number has to equal five with the receiver. So if it's 12 personnel, you have three guys, one running back, two tight ends, which leaves you with two wide receivers left. The magic number is five. You're allowed five eligible players to go out for passes. Tight ends, running backs, and wide receivers. So the magic, everybody kind of knows, and I guess maybe this is one of the problems you don't know, Susie, the magic number is five. You have to have five eligible players. 12 personnel is one running back and two tight ends, so there's two extra guys there. Those are the wide receivers. 13 is one running back, three tight ends. That's four guys. That means you only have one wide receiver. That's how they do it, because there's a little common knowledge there among football people that know that the magic number there is five eligible receivers. And they always start with the one guy, the running back, that is going to be out there no matter what in just about every formation.
Yeah, unless you go five wide.
Right.
So if there's five receivers on the field, that's double zero personnel because there are no running backs.
Buckshot.
And there are no tight ends right on the field. So that would be double zero personnel.
Yeah.
If you have four receivers and one running back, it's 10 personnel because you have one running back, no tight ends. So you have to still get to five, to Steve's point, so it means four receivers are on the field. Hopefully that helps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.